بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, yesterday we spoke about to some extent what not to do. So today let me close that loop by speaking about what to do. As I mentioned, at some point of reference, the Satchar Committee report of 2005 stated very clearly that the status, economic status, education status, and so forth of the Muslims in this country, in India, is worse than that of the Dalits. There was a, as usual, hue and cry. There were different meetings and people were called, speeches were made. We are now in 2019. But if I ask a simple question, I generally look at three or four parameters when I am assessing any society. So looking at those parameters, if I ask a simple question to say, from 2005, when we got this wake-up call, to 2019, how many high-class schools were started by Muslims? Second question, how many high-class primary health centers, I'm not even talking about hospitals, how many high-class primary health centers were started and are being run by Muslims? Number three, how many high-class vocational education centers leading to small business startups were started by Muslims? Number four, this is the last one, what is the Muslim approach to citizenship? The primary fundamental part of that is elections. You know the answer to these four questions, right? Given that the Muslim population in this country is supposed to be 14% globally, in this place, it's in some places in this state, in some places it is as much as 37%. All of these four questions, the answer is zero. Right? I'm not talking about small groups and who are sitting and talking about this and talking about that. And we have this term, funny term, is only in the Muslim community. Intellectuals. What the devil is an intellectual? The opposite of an intellectual is insane. So you got only these two kinds. What is an intellectual? An intellectual is a talking face, right? We have got so used to living in echo chambers where we love the sound of our voices. So we talk to people like ourselves who basically agree in any case with whatever we are going to say, and we all shake our heads and we go home. That's it. We have zero tolerance for dissent. We absolutely consider anyone who disagrees with us to be our mortal enemy and we treat him like that. Anyone who questions us, we consider them to be absolutely impertinent little, you know, slimes, and we treat them like that. How can we have growth? This is where we are. Second question. If the Satchar Committee report had said the opposite of what it said, for example, if the Satchar Committee report had said that the status of the Muslims in India is number one community in the whole country with respect to education, with respect to economic well-being, with respect to public health and so on, whatever the parameters. Supposing that was the report, right? Who would have taken credit for that? Muslim leadership? Yes or no? Naturally and quite justifiably, if Muslim leadership, political leadership, religious leadership, business leadership, I don't think there is such a thing, but if there was, they would have trumpeted this from the top of the mountains to say that we are responsible for the fact that our community is the most highly developed, the most highly educated, the wealthiest, the community which is contributing the greatest to society. They would have trumpeted this from the mountaintops. And as I said, quite justifiably. Therefore, However, since the Sachar Committee report says the opposite of this, that the Muslim community is at the bottom of the pit and is digging, it is the least educated, the least economically, I mean the most backward, the poorest, the least healthy, then who must this credit go to? Somebody else? This credit goes to the same bunch. The same bunch of political leaders, religious leaders, economic leaders, or whoever the hell they are, you know, I don't know, educational leaders. As a result of which, this community is in this mess. Therefore, the big question to the rest of us, the garden variety lizards, is how come we go to the same people for answers? So, we are the ones who must go and go stand in a line before the neurologists of the world and say, please examine my head. Is there a vacuum inside or what? Or is it filled with mud? When you have a bunch of people who sank you to this abysmal level, how do you go back to the same people to give you solutions? If they had solutions, they would have given them to you. No? They didn't give it to you for how many years? 70 plus years. And you go back to the same bunch of people for solutions. Who needs their head examined? So, four things to do. Number one, first of all, accept the fact that we are in deep, you know what, right? We're in over our heads. And the thing has also hit the fan. We have to accept this. This is the standard psychological practice of resilience. As a result, and this framework has come out of some very fantastic results, research on inmates of concentration camps who lived in them for a long time, many years, and still came out of that physically and psychologically intact. So the first thing to do is accept that you are in the problem. Now, this is one thing which we never do. Our standard answer is exporting blame. We as a community are in a state of denial. We believe that nothing is wrong with us, and we believe that all our problems are the result of somebody else, not ourselves. And we believe that we are just on the brink of becoming global world leaders. It's just going to happen just like that. We are absolutely on the edge, and all I am just waiting for is to sit on the throne. The throne is already ready for me. I just have to go and put my backside into it, and that's it. We have to get out of this. This is fantasy. This is absolute rubbish. Right? Get out of this. We are in deep, deep, deep trouble. Please understand. We cannot be annihilated for two reasons. One is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised this Rasulullah that this community, the ummah of a Muslimah, will not be annihilated. And secondly, because you can't annihilate a billion and a half people. It's simply not possible. But we can be effectively annihilated. Meaning, and we are close to that if not in it already. Meaning that our opinion has no value, our welfare is not anybody's concern. We are just like a bunch of sheep in a field. Anyone who wants to eat sheep, he goes, drags one out, slaughters it, eats it, no problem. Nobody cares a hoot for us, right? We are doormats on whose faces everybody wipes their shoes. This is possible. We are, I won't say we are in it completely, but we are definitely at least halfway in it already. So we are in deep trouble. Number one, accept this. Number two, also accept that there is no avatar that is going to come. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to descend. Wahi is not going to come on some new Nabi is not going to come. The Mahdi is not going to emerge. Not in your lifetime, my lifetime. Let me assure you of that, right? Maybe, later on we know, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's prediction, we don't deny that. But none of the people sitting here or none of the people listening to this one are going to see the Mahdi. Let me assure you. Even according to the hadith, the number of years, you don't have that lifespan. So no Mahdi is going to come. You want to get out of this mess? You have to do it. Go look in the mirror. You want to know who should do something? From here, go and stand in front of the mirror and look. That face in the mirror is the one who is going to have to do something. Nobody else. No one is going to come to save us. So, accept we are in trouble. Number two, realize that our leaders have no clue. That's why they are the cause of the problem. Don't keep running back to the same bunch of leaders. They were losers. Number three, accept that you are the one who has to find a solution. And number four, understand that solutions are not things. Solutions to these kinds of problems, which are life-threatening, critical problems, they don't come by working on the weekend. They don't come by doing this as a hobby. They don't come by doing this in your spare time. Understand this? What is my dalil? The life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa, which we don't read, which we don't study, which we do not even teach in our madaris. Absolute shame. That shows the quality of madaris education. Read the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Find me one sahabi who did the work of Da'watul Islam, who did the work of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a part-time basis. Find me one. Find me one who did that work on the weekend. Ya Rasulullah, please wait. You know, is it Friday or Sunday? Find me one. Everyone in that group, starting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, was in it full time, full commitment, total, including their lives, which many of them gave. 100% commitment. How much time? Full time. How much money? All your money. How much energy? All your energy. What about my life? If necessary, that also. That is how the change came in that short period. If you take the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his risala, 23 years, then 2 years of Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, 25 years, then 10 years of Umar ibn al-Khattab radhiyallahu anhu, 35 years. In 35 years, they went from being the most depressed, the most oppressed, powerless people, despised by everybody, to becoming the leaders of at least some part of the known world at the time. Because by then the futuhat of the Rashida period had started. Believe me, that didn't happen by talking, by forwarding nonsense messages on WhatsApp. We are professional forwarders. Yesterday somebody forwarded me a message. In every salah, in the fourth rakat or the last rakat, after ruku, stand up and then raise your hands and then make this whole message in Urdu. Make this dua. Gidgida ke ye dua khane. Ke ay Allah, hame ye kije, ye dije, falana kije, dikana kije. Ab mufti sahab baithe hai, namaz hoti? Chauthi rakat mein khade, kya Urdu mein, Urdu dua karna, khade rahe. Like mad people, forwarding everywhere. I said, where did you discover this? Nahi, mere ko kon ki bole? Kon ki bolte jaye, kuch jaate? Arre kya ajeeb, mere matlab forward karna. People think this forwarding messages is their purpose in life. Now why? I'm not going to sit and talk about the masala here. It's complete. Your salah will be invalid. Let me, the simple question is, your salah is gone, khalas. Salaam alaikum. Start all over again. As simple as that. The point I'm saying is that we have to get out of this. We have to get serious with our lives. Otherwise, believe me, you and I will suffer. Whether you have done anything or not, you and I will suffer. Right? I must say, you will suffer because I don't have much lifespan. So I can probably get out of this without facing anything. But not you guys. You guys are in it to your necks. So get serious with your life. Now once you do that, then the next steps of what is to be done, that we'll talk inshallah. I don't want to take more time with that. But these four things, accept that we are in this big problem. Number two, accept that our leadership is completely failed, so stop going to them. Number three, accept that you are the one who is going to find the solution. And number four is be committed 100% full time to doing something. If you don't want to live the rest of your life as a slave, as simple as that. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعليه وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا رب العالمين.